News Team Coverage, 94.9 WSJM News Now.
WSJM News Now is brought to you by Comfort Keepers of Southwest Michigan, serving Berry and Cass and Van Buren counties. Compatible, compassionate, comfortable care at home. In the newsroom, I'm Andrew Green. The Berry and County Land Bank is taking bids for a couple of foreclosed properties in Benton Harbor, hoping to find buyers that are interested in using those properties for new developments. Berry and County Treasurer Brett Witkowski tells us he's heard from a few developers interested in the El Rico and Mercy Hospital properties.
I mean, we've even had some smaller people generate interest. We've had at least three strong parties interested in El Rico Metals, a couple in Mercy. So we're just hoping that one of them can come through and be something that's positive for the city and the county, put both these properties back on the tax roll.
The two parcels did not sell at the county land auction, so they've been moved to the Berry and County Land Bank so they can be sold. The deadline to submit a proposal, February 14th. Witkowski would like to see the properties sold by spring. If you're interested, contact his office. Michigan State Police are once again putting an extra emphasis on commercial vehicles with a new enhanced enforcement period on I-94. MSP tells us, starting Monday, motor carrier officers will join officers from the Indiana State Police, Illinois State Police, and Ohio State Highway Patrol in a coordinated enforcement operation called Eyes on 94. They all aim to reduce commercial vehicle crashes on the highway. Motor carrier officers will focus on violations by commercial vehicles that are most likely to contribute to a crash, which includes speeding, following too close, improper passing, distracted driving, and improper lane use. If you're a semi-truck driver, remember to be on your best behavior because Michigan State Police will have their eye on you through December 8th. Speaking of state police, there are some new Michigan State Police troopers coming to Southwest Michigan. State Police have graduated their 133rd Trooper Recruit School as of this week, announcing the locations to which all 127 graduates are being sent. Paw Paw-based Michigan State Police Lieutenant Dale Hintz tells us the Niles Post is getting 5 new troopers. The Paw Paw Post is getting 8 new troopers. They could use the help.
We were down several troopers here at the post, and this new surge of manpower will be very well received at the post. We're excited to get them started and get them out there with their field training officers to begin their field training.
Hinn says absorbing 8 troopers at the Paw Paw Post will be a challenge, but he's sure the post is up to it. Michigan State Police recently identified a need to get hundreds of new troopers around the state in the coming years because of retirements that are looming. The newly assigned recruits will train in the field for 20 weeks at their post, and then they become full-fledged troopers. AAA of Michigan is reminding all Michiganders how to properly transport their Christmas trees now that December's here. Spokesperson Susan Hiltz tells us a new survey finds about 20 million Americans have transported a tree without properly strapping it in. That leads to crashes.
You know, what we found is that with improperly secured Christmas trees, they were responsible for more than 200,000 crashes that resulted in about 39,000 injuries and 500 deaths in the past 4 years.
Hinz tells us you can get big fines for failing to transport a tree correctly. She says if you need to use a roof rack, use quality tie downs and point the trunk of the tree toward the front of your car, among other things. AAA has all the guidelines on its website. We have a link at WSJM.com. Speaking of Christmas trees, a tree shortage may be felt slightly in Michigan this year. About 10 years ago, there was a surplus of trees, but then fewer people bought them because of the depressed economy. So growers planted fewer trees, and because it takes about 10 years for a tree to fully grow, the fallout wasn't felt until this year. That's according to Amy Start, Executive Director of the Michigan Christmas Tree Association.
If you like a specific type of tree, whether it's a Fraser fir or some other type, you'll want to shop early. You know, shop this weekend, go to the lot, get your tree early, because if you wait, that type of tree may not be there.
With this weekend being the busiest for tree farmers, Start suggests you buy your tree as soon as you can. Michigan's the third largest producer of Christmas trees in the United States. Lieutenant Governor Brian Calley has kicked off his campaign for governor. He spoke with our own Pat Moody this morning. Calley said he wants to move up to the governor's office because he wants to continue the policies of the Snyder administration.
We have come so far together. Michigan has been on an incredible comeback with 500,000 new jobs and a 17-year low in unemployment and top 10 growth rate in income in Michigan. But now it's time to build on that strong foundation, take it all to the next level.
Calley said the key to Michigan's future is to make sure everyone's ready for the jobs of tomorrow. That means strong schools and a focus on technical and career education. Other Republicans running for governor include State Senator Patrick Kolbeck and Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette. A fight's brewing in Lansing over proposed legislation that would put schools at risk of financial penalty if their mascots or slogans are deemed racially insensitive. State Representative Bo LaFave of the Upper Peninsula calls the bill a weak attempt at forcing political correctness.
There is absolutely no reason to take money away from hardworking teachers and school districts in the Upper Peninsula because of some PC nonsense.
The Iron Mountain Republican announced he'll fight that bill, recently introduced by Detroit Democrat Ian Conyers. The bill is still in the committee stage. And a new minimum wage takes effect in Michigan 1 month from today. Come January 1st, the state's minimum wage goes up to $9.25 an hour from $8.90 an hour. This is the final scheduled increase provided for in Public Act 138, the Workforce Opportunity Wage Act of 2014. Any future adjustments after January of 2018 will not exceed 3.5% and will be established by the Michigan Treasurer based on the unemployment rate and the Consumer Price Index under state law. Under the Workforce Opportunity Wage Act of 2014, the minimum wage in the state rose from $7.25 an hour to $8.15 back in 2014. After that, it went up incrementally until it reached the final $9.25 coming on January 1st. State law also allows an employer in Michigan to pay 85% of the minimum hourly wage to employees who are aged 16 and 17. WSJM News now continues with your Hilliard Lyons report.
This is Rick Sanders with Hilliard Lyons, bringing you a market recap and stocks of local interest for Friday, December 1st. Financial markets turned defensive. Equities rebounded from the worst of the losses as Senate Republicans edged closer to passing tax cuts. The dollar closed down while oil and gold finished higher. Stocks of local interest include American Electric Power, down 39 cents at $77.24, Express One down $1.04 at $77.99, and J.P. Morgan up 25 cents at $104.77. GE down 41 cents at $17.88, IBM up 75 cents at $154.72, and Microsoft up 9 cents at $84.26. Fifth Third up 18 cents at $30.69, Chemical Financial up 7 cents at $56.46. Stryker down 16 cents at $155.84, and Whirlpool down $1.14 at $167.43. For the session, the NASDAQ was down 26 points at 6,847, the S&P 500 down 5 points at 2,642, and the Dow was down 40 points at 24,231.
WSJM News now continues. The guilty plea by former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn may mean that the parallel congressional investigations into Russian interference may benefit. ABC's Lana Zaks on the Capitol.
Flynn plea makes our investigation all the more important.
Congressman Adam Schiff is hoping Michael Flynn's guilty plea means Congress will finally hear from him.
Michael Flynn could offer a lot to investigators, to Bob Mueller, as well as to our investigation to Congress. And we would hope, as part of the plea agreement, that he'd be required to provide cooperation to both investigations.
Flynn previously offered to testify before both the Senate and House Intelligence Committees in exchange for immunity. At that point, the request was denied. Lana Zak, ABC News, Capitol Hill.
Fired FBI Director James Comey, quoting the Old Testament on his Twitter account. The same day, former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about his discussions with a Russian official. Comey wrote, quote, "But justice rolled down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." And Comey was fired in May by President Donald Trump, a move that helped to lead to the appointment of Robert Mueller as the special counsel. Speaking of which, that plea agreement today requires Michael Flynn to cooperate with the special counsel. Here's ABC's Aaron Katursky.
In the waning days of the Obama administration, the UN Security Council took up a resolution to condemn Israel over settlements. Court records said a very senior member of the Trump transition team directed Flynn to contact foreign governments, including Russia, to delay the vote or defeat the resolution. As part of his guilty plea, Flynn will be expected to tell the special counsel who instructed him to reach out. He'll be subjected to potentially hours of interviews and will have to turn over documents.
It's ABC's Aaron Kotursky. In the latest tit-for-tat between Russia and the United States, Russia's parliament has said it will forbid American journalists from reporting from its building That comes after the U.S. stripped the Kremlin-funded broadcaster RT of its press credentials, allowing it to cover Congress. Here's ABC's Patrick Revelle.
Russia's parliament has said it will ban all U.S. media outlets from reporting from its building. ABC is among roughly 20 news outlets expected to be barred from next week. It's retaliation for a decision by the U.S. Radio and Television Correspondents Association to strip the Kremlin-financed broadcaster RT of its press credentials for Capitol Hill. This is the latest tit-for-tat since the U.S. ordered RT to register as a foreign agent. U.S. intelligence has accused the channel of being a propaganda bullhorn for the Kremlin. Patrick Revel, ABC News, Moscow.
Republicans say they have enough votes to pass their historic tax cut bill this week. ABC's Andy Field has details.
Republican Senate leaders say they've convinced enough party members to vote yes on the tax cut bill that critics say will add more than $1 trillion in national debt. Senator Lindsey Graham says not so.
I think it will pay for itself and then some. And if I'm wrong, like every other Republican, we'll pay a price. And if I'm right, then I think people will say, hey, those guys know what they're talking about.
Other analysts saying companies and the wealthy will get permanent tax cuts. The middle class don't. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says reports that the White House is trying to get rid of him are laughable. Tillerson was asked about those reports during a photo op with the visiting Libyan prime minister about reports White House is considering a plan to replace Tillerson with the CIA director. Multiple officials have said the White House is considering that plan. October's mass shooting in Las Vegas now appears to be having an impact on that city's most important industry. Here's ABC's Alex Stone.
In what tourism officials in Las Vegas believe is the first real data showing the impact of October's shooting, the city says despite a big convention month, the number of visitors in Las Vegas in October of this year compared to last dropped by 115,000 people. Much of that decline, they believe, was cancellations by leisure travelers who often drive to Las Vegas from California and elsewhere who decided to stay away after the shooting. Also, casinos saw a 6% drop in revenue in October. Alex Stone, ABC News.
And you can expect a repeat at the box office for Coco, a Pixar movie this weekend. ABC's Jason Nathanson explains that film doesn't have a whole lot of competition.
The biggest opening this weekend at the box office is a 20-year-old movie. Titanic is back in theaters for a week to celebrate the 20th anniversary of its release. You can catch it in remastered 2D or 3D, which is sure to add to its $2.1 billion global box office total, the second highest grossing film of all time.
Do not let go of my hand!
It'll play in about 100 theaters across the country.
I'll never let go.
No other movie will open nationwide this weekend. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
WSJM News Now continues with your weather forecast brought to you by Comfort Keepers of Southwest Michigan, serving Berrien, Cass, and Van Buren counties. Compatible, compassionate, comfortable care at home.